All right, what we're going to talk about this morning sort of builds off of what we talked about last week. We talked about the fact that this Christian life that we live is work. It takes effort, takes energy, takes discipline. And we looked at the passage where the Apostle Paul compares this Christian life to a race. And we are to run, and we're to run effectively and to give the best of our ability. But we know that when we run, we know that when we're in this race that we get tired and we get defeated and we get tripped up and we're hurting from time to time. A number of years ago, after I was here as a youth pastor, I was pastor in Heritage Hills Bible Church north of Battle Creek. And it's a day you may remember. It was 4:11 p.m. on August 14th, 2003. When large portions of the United States and Canada were hit with the largest blackout in American history. You know, 50 million people experienced power outage. Subway trains stopped in the middle of tunnels. Elevators stopped between floors. Depending on where you were in the country and the timing, it wasn't too long before whole cities were in complete darkness. And remember, if you remember back then, it was only a couple years after 9/11. And so chaos ensued and panic ensued and people thought it was another terrorist attack. And then they started to say, well, if terrorists are going to attack, that's exactly what they need to do. They need to take out the power grid and they need to do all this and this and this. And the blackout was traced to a power plant in Ohio that had suddenly shut down. And it triggered a series of problems on the transmission lines that cascaded for miles and miles and miles and miles. You know, outdated equipment was part of the problem, and authorities said it was a wake-up call. You know, there's a very good chance that something like that can and will happen again at some point, somewhere. You know, in the Word of God, there were no power plants. There were no electrical substations, there's no nuclear facilities, and there were no power lines and power poles to disrupt the sight lines in Israel. And, you know, some of those godly individuals like Abraham didn't have a refrigerator. Solomon, as wise as he was, could never imagine an electric lamp or some of those things that we just sort of take for granted. But the Bible has a lot to say about power. Depending on your translation, that word power is used about 264 times in Scripture. And some of our greatest verses describe the power grid of God, the source of that power and strength. And a couple verses I want you to turn to. I'll get there in a couple minutes. And turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll have you look at a couple different passages this morning. But I want us to think about some verses that talk about God's power. Jesus Christ promised in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." He says, you'll receive power to be evangelistic. You will receive power to go and take the gospel message. The Apostle Paul in the NIV in Colossians chapter 1 verse 29, it says, "His energy which so powerfully works in me." 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We're told in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who empowers us, who enables us and equips us. You know, the Lord intends for us to be powerful people. He intends for us to be powerful in our optimism, in our hopeful spirit. He intends for us to be powerful in our desire to see people come to Christ. He intends for us to be powerful in our influence, in our moral fiber, in our purity. We are called to be powerhouses in prayer, in proclaiming God's truth, in our preaching. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, it says, God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 18 through 20. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. And we could point to a lot of other scriptures. If God wants us to be powerful, if God equips us, if God strengthens us, if God enables us, if God provides for us, if God is with us, and God is giving us the strength to do these things, so what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings 19? Coming off the high of the prophets of Baal being defeated, and then Jezebel wants to kill him, and so what's he do? Runs in the wilderness and hides under a tree and says, God, I want to die. Kill me. I'm done. I'm defeated. What happened to Samson? Strongest man on the earth whose moral convictions buckled like a defective bridge. Just collapsed. What happened to Peter? That outspoken disciple of Christ who, when faced with confrontation, wilted. Crumbled. I don't know the man. What happened to Abraham, who lied about Sarah to save his skin? What happened to Jeremiah, who became so discouraged he's known as the weeping prophet? What happened to David, who fell victim to the charms of Bathsheba's beauty? Even the Apostle Paul shared in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life. He was defeated. I want you to look at another passage about the Apostle Paul. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think probably most of us would agree that the Apostle Paul was probably the greatest evangelist who walked the face of the earth. You know, he didn't live in a time where there was internet and technology and the message of God could go forth that way. He simply went. He went a lot of different places and he proclaimed Christ and saw many people come to Christ and discipled and lives transformed and the Word of God going around the world. The Apostle Paul, as great of an evangelist as he was, as strong as he was in the faith, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. Right here Paul says, God brought me here. God opened a door for me to share the gospel, for me to evangelize, for me to proclaim. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. You know what Paul's saying? God gave me an open door. And I was so anxious. I was so upset. I didn't even take it. I went on. Paul blew it. You know, we know he blew it a lot of times. He said, the things I know I should do, I don't do. And he blew it. He messed up in serving Christ. He messed up and didn't take advantage of an opportunity that God had given him. If all of these examples of individuals in the Word of God blew it and had those blackouts and those brownouts and those burnouts, we're going to have them too. We're going to mess up. We're going to blow it. We're going to be defeated. We're going to be discouraged. We're going to get tired and weary. Personal power outages occur when we give out more than we're taking in. There was a financial planner one time that said, when your outflow exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. When your outflow exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. That applies to our souls just as much as it does to spreadsheets. When our power lines become overloaded, then the lights flicker and dim, and we see signs of burnout. It is easy for our work for the Lord to crowd out our walk with the Lord. If we're not careful, it's easy for our work for the Lord to crowd out our walk with the Lord. And we get to those points of barrenness and burnout and defeat. You know, power outages occur when we allow sins to pop up in our lives. You know, those sins that pop up are kind of like in your home when a breaker blows. You know, our home is an old home. It doesn't look like it from the outside if you drive by, but the original part of our house was built in 1918. So it's over 100 years old. And we are still learning about some of the quirks of our house. I remember what time of year it was when we had the Joy Group over for breakfast, and Jim and Nancy were there ahead of time helping us get things ready, and Christy had several crock pots plugged in, and all of a sudden, a breaker popped. And we learned that on that one breaker was all the kitchen, the dining room outlets, and the TV went out in the living room. You know, so all of that happened with one little breaker. So we quickly learned that there are certain things you can't plug in at the same time. There are certain things you have to avoid, and you have to run extension cords here and do some different things. And, you know, it's like that when sin pops up. We have to deal with that. You have to confess it. You have to handle it properly and deal with the situation and then learn how to go on from there and to adjust so that that doesn't happen again. That's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, is to deal with sin. But sometimes what happens is we try and just sort of cover up the facade, and we're learning that in our house they did a lot of things to just cover things up. There was another time when Christy's family, her sister and mother, were visiting us in August, September, I don't remember when it was exactly, but it was hot. And so we had all three air conditioners in our house going, and the oven was going, getting ready for supper. I was outside grilling, and all of a sudden everything got deathly quiet because everything went off in our house. Not just some individual breakers, but the main popped. All right, I'm not an electrician. You don't want me working on your electrical. But I went to the panel, and I couldn't open the panel door because it burned my hand to the touch. All right, now I know that's not good. And so was within a year of living there. We had the home warranty and called in, and I talked to the electrician, and I told him what happened. He said, "Well, that's not good." I said, "Yeah, I know, you know." And it took an hour or so, and I could finally open the door and pop the main back on, and it went off again one more time. And it got so hot that there's a panel behind the panel that had warped. It got so hot. And so now we have a new panel in our house, and some things are a little bit different. You know, we do that in our lives. When sin issues pop up and the Holy Spirit convicts us of the different areas, the bitterness, the anger, the anxiety, the envy, the gossip, the whatever you want to put in there, and we don't really deal with the issue. We just sort of cover it up and dismiss it, and then pretty soon it leads to bigger things, and eventually it leads to a complete power failure, where we become useless. You know, and we have to deal with those sin issues, and we have to turn them to God, and we have to trust Him. And even though those aren't easy times and those aren't fun times, those are things we have to do. So in this Christian life that we live, if we know that we look at the examples in Scripture of those that blew it and those that got defeated and those that burned out and got tired and gave up, and we know that's going to happen in our lives from time to time, what do we do to avoid those spiritual power outages? How can we avoid our own personal brownouts and blackouts and burnouts? You know, that's a question that's not just going around the church today. It's athletes are asking that. What can I do? How can I train my body so that a professional football player is as strong in week 17 as he was in week 1? Or a baseball player is as ready to go and he swings as hard and can throw as hard and run as fast in game number 182 as he could in game number 1. Businessmen are asking that. Business people are asking that. What do I do so that I don't get burned out and I don't get defeated and I don't give up and run away? What, you know, politicians, pastors. Reuters, a number of years ago, Reuters reported that there was a firm in Pennsylvania that tried to address the burnout situation. They had a high turnover. It was a healthcare facility, and they lost a lot of employees. And so they tried and started to do drumming sessions. And they would take these employees and they'd study them and they'd put them in these sessions and they put drums in front of them and said, you beat the drums to match your feelings. So you're upset, you just go in there and you hammer away for however long. If you're bored, you just, do the mundane thing. And they did this for a period of time and they realized that immediately after they did that session, there was like a 46% improvement in their mood as they walked out. They felt a whole lot better walking out than they did going in. After a 6-week period of time, they realized that after those sessions, then their improvement went up to 62%. I can't tell you. Let's open up the Word of God, and He tells us to go pound on drums. So most likely, if you would stop by on a weekday and I'm having a rough day, you probably won't find me in here pounding on the drums. But I can find a lot in the Word of God about the power of worship and the power of music and the power of singing, the power of the Word of God and prayer, and those things that help us and equip us and enable us. The critical thing in avoiding spiritual power outages is we have to stay plugged in to the source. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to stay plugged in to the power source. Spend time in God's Word every single day. Spend time in prayer. Let Him talk to us. Let Him hear us in our hearts. And spending that time in worshiping Him, drawing that strength from Him. The writer of Psalm 87 in verse 7 says, all my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. Jesus knew the secret source of that daily replenishment. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, in the early morning while it was still dark, He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. In the early morning while it was still dark, He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Think about that. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, as He is here on this earth, knows the importance of spending time with His Father, how much more important is it for us? How much more do we need to value and prioritize and spend that time with God and draw from Him? We're very careful to plug in our cell phones and make sure they're charged, our laptops, our iPads. You make it a priority. Some of you carry around an extra cord with you or have one in your car. Make sure I'm going to plug into that source. Are we just as careful about plugging our lives into the power source and having that consistent supply of energy we need from Christ? Are we mindful of it? Do we think about it? Spending that time every day listening to God as we study His Word. Letting Him hear from us as we spend that time in prayer and confessing our sins and dealing with those sin issues. Fellowshipping with Him. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. Draw from Him. Get the nourishment we need from Him. The Word of God also talks about taking care of ourselves physically. Getting the sleep we need. Getting the exercise we need. And doing the things that help us. And we have to learn to live by faith. Much of our burnout is caused because we don't trust God. Now, there are things that He has allowed us to be able to handle on our own. Some of the everyday things in life. Now, we trust Him, and we are to walk with Him closely every single day. So as we deal with the things, we're still trusting Him, but there are some things that come into our path and come into our life we can't handle on our own. And we have to give them over to Him. We have to trust Him 100%. There's a little word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on Him. Casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. A lot of times we burn out because we don't do that. We don't trust God enough to say, God, I can't handle it here. It's yours. We do it in our own strength and we fail miserably. And we get burned out and we get tired, we get defeated, we give up. And we fall under those loads of care that God never designed for us to handle on our own. Casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Giving them all to Him. We have to take breaks. You know, we're not machines that can operate 24 hours a day and go nonstop. Jesus told His disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And when's the last time you paused and you just listened and listened for the voice of God? And maybe you're saying, you know what, you need a break. Step back. Just rest a while. Let me give you the energy you need. Let me give you the strength you need. Let me do this for you. Come around to a quiet place and just spend some time with me. We need to discover the gift of laughter. Vance Havner was an evangelist, and if you read Vance Havner at all, you know that his use of the English language wasn't the greatest, but he has some incredible things to share and some very godly insight. One thing he shared one time, I've seen more cheerful faces on iodine bottles than on some Christians. You know, we have to lighten up. The Bible talks a lot about cheer. Talks a lot about joy. There are some people, I really wonder if they can truly be saved and have the countenance and the attitude that they have 24/7. And you can think of some people right now, they never ever smile. There's never joy ever. Everything they share is negative and complaining and it's hurtful. And can they really be a child of God? He tells us we're to be joyful and cheerful and to rest in Him and to trust in Him and enjoy those things. But let me caution you, because God tells us that we need to do these things. We need to step back. We need to rest. We need to give those things over to Him. We need to trust Him. We need to be plugged into Him. But don't get to the point where you do absolutely nothing. Because He calls us to work. He calls us to serve. You know, there's to be a balance there. Life is hard. And working for the Lord is hard. And it's demanding and it's tiring. And, you know, it takes a toll on us. And we need to be careful to protect ourselves from breakdown. But we need to understand there's going to be a certain amount of fatigue. We're going to get tired. Let's do a couple verses that Mark and Luke shared about Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 5, verse 30, this is when Jesus is walking through the crowd and the woman with the issue of blood touched Him. It said, immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around and said, who touched me? Who touched my garment? Perceiving that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth. There's another interesting verse that Luke shares in Luke 6:19. All the multitude were trying to touch Him, for power was coming from Him and healing them all. Jesus, as He walked on the face of this earth, gave of His power, gave of His strength. He got tired. He got weary. You know, that happens as we serve God. Paul shares in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 20, 27 and 28, weariness and toil, sleeplessness, hunger and thirst, deep concerns for all the churches. That was a part of his life. As we take care of our families, as we work in our jobs, as we care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to get tired. Listen to me. If you are working for the Lord, you will get tired in your work. Don't get tired of it, because we still have work to do. And God has called us to work for Him, to honor Him. Evangelist D.L. Moody said, I don't believe that a person breaks down with hard work so much as with using the machinery without oil, without lubrication. It's not the hard work that breaks down ministers. It's the toil of working without power. My challenge for us right now, as we enter 2019 and we're in this race, we walk this life for Christ, every single day, make it a priority to stay plugged into the source. Spend time with God every day. You've heard me say it many times. As long as God keeps me here, you're going to hear it again and again and again. We have to spend time with God. We have to make it a priority to be in His Word. We have to make prayer a priority in our lives. We have to make worship a part of our lives. Confessing sins. Stay plugged in to the source, because He is the one who empowers us. He is the one who strengthens us. He's the one who equips us and enables us. Stop doing it in your own strength, because I don't care how good you look on the outside, if you do it in God's strength, it's going to be far better. And God gets the glory. Stay plugged into the source. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for what You teach us in Your Word. Lord, I'm thankful for truthful examples in Scripture of people that failed and people that blew it, because that makes it more real, because we realize every single day we blow it and we fail. Our attitude isn't right. We don't take advantage of opportunities You give us, kind of like Paul and Troas. We get discouraged and defeated, maybe to the point like Elijah, where we just want to die. But You were the God of Elijah. You were the God of Paul. You were the God of Samson. You were the God of David. You're our God who loves us and provides for us and cares for us. Lord, where there's sin issues, help us to deal with those. Confess, repent, turn from. Take them seriously. Don't try and cover them up. Don't try and pass them off as no big deal. So where there's sin issues, help us to deal with them. Help us to make it a priority to spend that time with You every single day, throughout the day, to trust You. Help us to stay plugged into that power source. Lord, that's what You want. It's what You desire. And if we do that, we can see You do some pretty amazing things. So Lord, we're going to trust You. We're going to claim Your truth that You are the one who gives power. You're the one who strengthens us. Now help us to trust You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.